This is Booking the Territory, a pro wrestling podcast hosted by Mike Mills, Heartbody Harper from Wildcat Sports and Entertainment, and the mentally irregular Doc Turner. This podcast is a mix of your topics and thoughts in the world of pro wrestling, along with interviews and discussions with current independent stars and your favorite stars from the past. And now, here's your host, Mike Mills.
We are back for this week's episode of Booking the Territory's Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I am joined weekly by my co-hosts, one of them being the world's greatest wrestling manager, not named Paul Heyman from Wildcat Sports and Entertainment, the one and only Hardbody Harper, and the infamous fucking idiot, Doc Turner. After Hardbody Harper, Doc, and I, you know, go through your emails and topics from this week, myself and Harper are actually going to sit down for a one-on-one and discuss, you know, his journey in professional wrestling, amongst other things like being on Tinder and whatnot. You'll have to wait till the end of the show to get to that one, though. So let's jump into things today and see what we got going on. Harper, what's happening, man?
What's up, man? Nothing. Doing all right.
Same old shit, yep. Huh? Must be nice to be able to work out at the gym in the middle of the fucking day, dude. I wish I could do that.
That sucks, bro. Dude, it gives you so many goddamn people in there. Fuck that.
Well, you just get up at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. You wouldn't have
any. Yeah, fuck that, too.
Oh, okay. So you just fuck it all. Yeah. Let's just go ahead.
I'm a vampire. I go like midnight.
That's real classy. Doc, what's up, man?
Since it's pretty apparent we can't get any T-shirt money, I just want to know if you're going to give Harper his usual appearance fee that you pay all the other guests of the show.
Yeah.
Harper, did you know about that, or was he? Did he not? Did he convene?
He never told me about that.
Right. Just like I had to find out about the T-shirts too.
Yeah.
Hey, I got this deal with this guy. I forgot to tell you. I got busy. We're making all kinds of money, but don't ask anything about it.
Harper's not listening to a fucking thing you're saying. He's got Pac-Man going in the background because Lori's trying to get in touch with him.
That's nice.
That's what I thought. Wow. Before we jump into this week's episode, we got a lot to cover. We had an ROH pay-per-view. We got some TNA news to discuss, Impact Wrestling, Impact on Pop. We got The Undertaker from Raw. We got a bunch of topics we're going to jump into this week. I got to say thanks again to Pro Wrestling Opinion and my buddy just Nick Jason Lopez over there who writes up all the articles, TNA, ROH, all that good stuff. It's free. Go check his website out, prowrestlingopinion.com. Thank you to AutoCentrics, our staple sponsor on the show. If you're looking for a quality vehicle at a great price, no matter where it is, if you have an idea of what you want, they can get that vehicle for you. Give them a call at 972-866-4307. They have over 20 years of experience in the auto sales industry, and they will make the process easy for you with their no-hassle and no-haggle buying experience. Give them contact code #Mike@BTTSentMe. They're going to give you a nice discount on your vehicle.
Hey,
also, follow
no-haggle, right?
Proceed.
I want a free car. Don't haggle with me. Give it up.
Facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Give us a like on there. We really appreciate it. Follow all of us on Twitter at @BTT_podcast and at @CJHWhoDat. I think Doc Turner is at @DocTurnerBTT. And how many people are following you, Doc? How popular are you these days?
Man, I got a real selective guest list. I've been blocking people that all my invites. So I got 4 followers. And one of them, I probably shot them out here within the show. So I have a really intimate customer experience, and I'm still working on some of the finer points of what I want to do with the page right now. So there hadn't been a lot of activity.
Basically, you don't know what the fuck you're doing. We will proceed. Make sure you're emailing us, bookingtheterritory@gmail.com. I got a bunch of your questions this week that we're going to cover related to WWE, ROH, and TNA. Hey, I keep getting questions at the Gmail inbox, bookingtheterritory@gmail.com. When are you guys going to talk about Lucha Underground? Here's a problem with Lucha Underground, and I have nothing against it.
It's not good?
As much as I'm a fan.
No, I like it. Actually, I like it. You should watch it. It's a wrestling product, dude.
As much as I'm a fan of, like, Jim Cornette, who's been burying Lucha Underground, I have no problems with Lucha Underground. The problem I have is I can't get it in my area. I don't think any of us get it.
Why don't you take that T-shirt money and get you a cable package that's worth a shit?
What you got, Harper? What were you about to say?
Yeah, I mean, we don't get that, huh? I know.
I don't get it either. Yeah. I don't, dude. I'm in one of the fucking largest metroplexes there is, and we don't get it. We used to get it on the Spanish station here, but we don't get it. We don't get it anymore. So I have no. The thing is, I think it's on what's that, DirecTV and maybe even Charter, but heck, I got UVerse, so I ain't get it. I don't get it. But tonight, I start getting Pop TV. Matter of fact, I got it on in the background right now. It looks like an old episode of Young and the Restless or some shit.
Yeah. That's what they show. Yeah. Man. It's like all the old soap operas that they show at night.
That's some good shit, though, man.
I guess.
Make sure you are subscribed to the show. Whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, Podbean, just search Book in the Territory and it'll come up. All right, we're going to jump up into this week's topics and everything that we got going on. So where the hell is my topic list? Like I said, before we get to Hard Body Harper's interview with me and discussion with me, we do want to talk one thing. So Harper, I'm going to put you on the bench for a second because, Doc, we got the ROH pay-per-view that happened on Friday night. We're not going to nitpick this thing to death and go through it match by match, but you told me that you had some thoughts that you wanted to share about it. I'm sure they're pretty negative because everything you talk about is negative. What were your thoughts on the ROH pay-per-view from Friday night?
Seems like it should have been called the New Japan Pro Wrestling pay-per-view for as many guys from NJPW that went over. Hey, I do want to give a shout out to one of my four followers at JR the Heel. Thank you, appreciate it. You're one of my closest, my best fans, and I really want to appreciate the follow and making it through the process where I don't eliminate and block you. So, way to go, JR the Heel.
Okay, back to the ROH pay per view, and Joseph, that's not a slight at you because I know who JR the Heel is. Harper does too, but anyway, back to the ROH pay per view. Doc, you said you had something to talk about. We're a wrestling podcast. You want to give us your expert analysis, or do I have to fire you right now?
Fire me right now? I don't know. I mean, shit.
I mean, you sat there and said, oh, they may have called it the New Japan Invitational or whatever you called it. I didn't really quite get that. I mean, I guess you're saying that there was a lot of New Japan guys that actually won their matches?
Yeah. Wins and losses matter, right?
Yeah, I mean, so when
you look down that card and it's their 14th, the ROH 14th anniversary show, there were a lot of guys on the New Japan side that got the go over there.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you're right on that to an extent. But
the good thing is that our boy Jay Lethal came out with the belt still, so he's still the most entertaining heavyweight champion in the business.
Yeah, I guess you're partially right on that.
I'm 100% right about that.
I'm just kidding. Match of the night for me was the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega versus Matt Sydal and ACH and Kushida. I think that was the big one. The match that I thought would be a little bit better would be the BJ Whitmer, Adam Page. It wasn't a bad match, but it was just really, really quiet in the arena. The arena actually in general was really, really quiet, which – I don't know. After watching the December one, it just seemed like that was I didn't get a feeling of that the crowd was either not into it. I mean, they were in Vegas. Maybe that's why. I don't know. It just felt like the crowd overall wasn't as into this pay-per-view as they were the previous one in December, Final Battle. Could have just been me. Doc, did you get that sense as you kind of looked at it?
Who says I looked at it?
Okay, on to a topic that you do want to discuss. The boys and the Beer City Bruiser, along with Silas Young from ROH TV this week. It hasn't aired on Comet. This is Tuesday, March the 1st. Go ahead, Doc. You wanted to talk about Dalton Castle,
trying to stuff.
I mean, you're such an expert, so we'll throw it at you while Harper and I sit back and listen.
Can I talk, please? I was just trying to illuminate you with some conversation this week about how I really thought that the Silas Young Beer City Bruiser versus the Dalton Castle and the boys was a great example of something we used to get back in the territories, which was a feud on the mid card that had a lot of heat to it. And so not everything has to be Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns to be a feud that gets people drawn in. So, you know, think about it for you. What in Mid-South back in the 80s, what were some feuds? And it wasn't necessarily Jim Duggan versus JYD or whatever, but that was kind of underneath that, that got the crowd going. I mean, for us here in Dallas, it might have been Chris Adams versus Jimmy Garvin, and it wasn't the main event because that would have been the Freebirds and the Von Erichs.
I agree. The under and mid card in those promotions was much better. However, there's an issue that ROH does not have to deal with that a WWE does have to deal with, and that's the excessive hours of television. Therefore, when you see the boys and Beer City Bruiser and Silas Young and Dalton Castle on their segments, whether it's every other week or every 3 weeks, what makes that angle special is the fact that those guys do not have to go out there weekly and go up against someone. You see what I'm saying? So, like, we don't see Bruiser every single week. We don't see the boys every single week. Well, I mean, we see them a lot, but we don't see them in a successive pattern each and every week for a 30-minute segment, is my point. So I agree with you, it pains me to say that, that it's a good mid-card angle. At the same time, they're not overexposed and they're not oversaturating the product.
All I'm saying is that if you're out there in BTT land and you're not watching ROH and you have that on your cable system, you're missing out on a really good wrestling program.
They do
stuff different from WWE, and I find it to be the best hour of the many hours of wrestling that I watch each week.
No disagreement. To me, it's probably the best hour of wrestling on TV, generally weekly. This week was great too. I mean, dude, how about that freaking? He's gonna be at the Wildcat show coming up in 2 weeks. What's his name?
Who's that?
Leo Rush.
Oh yeah.
Leo Rush. Uh-huh. God damn, that fucking dude that he went up against. He beat the shit out of Leo Rush for Punish, what, 10, 12 minutes.
Punisher Martinez. That guy was huge.
Jesus Christ. Well, Leo's probably only 5'7", though, too. But that guy, dude, he beat the shit out of Leo for the whole match. And Leo ends up winning. For somebody who got beat down, I felt it was still a really good match.
Hey,
the fact that he beat him up for all that time and he beat him was a good match.
And recent BTT guest, Brian Fury, advanced to the finals.
A note on that, too, on Brian Fury. I'm glad you brought that up. Brian and I exchanged texts today. Brian was on, what was that, second or third week in January? I can't remember exactly. Brian is going to be recording another episode with me in another week or two, and it will air maybe before WrestleMania. It just depends, but we're going to talk about the Top Prospect Tournament and a couple of other things that I want to discuss with him that we did not get to first go around. So Brian Fury, probably besides like a Rod Price or someone, will be the first person who's come on once and then come back again for a second subsequent interview. So
I was the first person to do that.
TNA ratings down on the February 23rd episode of last week All right, TNA ratings. They went down on the February 23rd episode a week ago to 297,000 viewers after the previous week of 361,000 viewers.
Damn.
That's a big drop. Yeah. I mean, they're nowhere near Raw numbers. To piggyback on top of that, I also wasn't on the dirt sheets. PW Insider, Mike Johnson, who I got to get on a podcast at some point, he released a statement or article, and it's an exclusive. It says TNA looking to bring in outside investors and new partners.
Yeah, I saw that.
You saw that, yeah. Harper? Go ahead. What was your first? I'm not going to read. I don't want to read this because I'm pretty sure you didn't see this article, but I am going to read it in a minute. What were your thoughts as soon as you saw that? Related to TNA, knowing that you don't really watch it weekly.
Yeah, I'm just tired of it being bounced around from, it's like a kid in a foster care. You know? It goes from this house to this house. Stop. You know, it gets bounced around from this house to that house to that house.
Every third house, it gets molested.
Come on, man. You see? This is why the sponsors hate you.
It's exactly why they hate you. Exactly why. Doc, your thoughts
on it. I think you should take that damn t-shirt money and go buy TNA. Here's the thing, man. It's still okay. You wanted me to break it down for you. They got the second best show of the week. It's better than their Impact for the past 2 months has been better than Raw.
It actually has. I mean, I totally agree. Well, here's what Mike Johnson said. It's a kind of lengthy. I'll just
can
read
you
it
read.
Quick. Over the past week, PWInsider.com has heard multiple reports that TNA was seeking outside investors to come on board with the company. We also heard that Dixie Carter was seen in Los Angeles specifically for those meetings, including one at the Pop offices. We reached out earlier this week requesting comment from TNA. This evening, this was on February 26, TNA Executive Vice President Creative and Talent Relations John Gaborik returned PWI Insider's request for a comment via telephone. When asked whether the company was seeking outside investors, Gabura confirmed that was the case. Noting TNA has been in strategic partnership talks with several major global media companies and investment firms about the company's next phase of growth.
That's a made up sentence right there. That means nothing.
Gaborik, as you might imagine, given the nature of the ongoing conversations, would not confirm who any potential partners were. Gaborik did confirm that Carter was in Los Angeles for meetings, adding that she and the TNA executive team have spent a lot of time of late, not just in L.A., but also in New York City. Gaborik noted TNA CEO Dixie Carter has talked in recent media interviews about the company's execution of its five-year growth plan and that the meetings were in line with making those plans happen, adding it's a very exciting time for TNA. Gaborik declined comment when asked for additional details, again citing that conversations were ongoing. Again, that's from Mike Johnson, PWI Insider, February 26th. Doc, after I have read all that, you are the doctor of us all in real life. You're probably, at least you're self-proclaimed, more intelligent than both of us. What are your thoughts on that statement from Gaborik and Mike Johnson's report?
Well, it's sufficiently generic, which means something's going on. And that means whenever there's smoke, there's fire. So let me break this down for you from a business perspective. Here's what I bet happened. Everybody's been going to the gas tank lately and filling up on that $1.65 a gallon gasoline. Well, Panda Energy's been the group that's been funding TNA for all these years. So they've been getting a big wet bite out of their ass because they ain't making all that money from all that cheap, cheap gasoline you're getting. So they finally turned the spigot off and cut Dixie's allowance.
And that's it.
And there you go. They got to go. Dixie's got to go sing for her supper now. She got to go find some. She got to go find somebody else to foot the bill.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm gonna support most decent to really good wrestling that is on. I'm gonna support TNA. I'm gonna watch them because not to sound like JR, but I do sound like it all the time when I say I like the fact that the guys have somewhere to work. I think it's positive. I think it's good for professional wrestling in general. When I read this, I'm like, oh, fuck, not again.
Yeah.
Why are we? Because just like Harper said, I'm not going to put it in those terms where it's to where I feel, oh, well, it's that they're like the stepchild getting passed around from foster home to foster home. But at the same time, you read that and you're like, please, please, please tell me this is not what's happening again in TNA. And it's very, I hope it's not what it seems, but at the end of the day, why do we always seem to have this discussion about them? And hey, Doc, you're one of the most negative people I know. And for the last 3 months, you've been just about as positive as anybody can be about the TNA issue or TNA product.
I'm more excited about watching the 2-hour Impact tonight than I was about watching that 3-hour Raw last night. So, yeah, they've been good now for a couple.
God.
We're going to get to that in a second.
But yeah, TNA has been consistently good. And for everybody who doesn't like the things they're doing, and Mike, I'm going to give you – God dang, I hate doing this, but I'm going to give you a little bit of credit. We're starting to come together as people here. But you said this a lot. TNA takes a lot of shit for things that if – or WWE gets a pass for things that TNA catches shit for.
They do. They do all the time. They do all the time. If TNA rolled out some of the shit you see on about 20 Raws per year, people would be like, oh, this is fucking stupid shit. That's why nobody watches them. That's why they only have 300,000 viewers. Raw right now, WWE to an extent is getting viewers on sheer reputation.
Yeah, really. I gotta force myself to watch it, man.
If you
Harper, don't think you're alone, dude. It ain't just you.
And if it wasn't for this podcast,
you might not watch it, huh?
No, I wouldn't be watching it.
Dude, that's how – dude, you want to know what's funny? As much as all three of us love wrestling, we all feel the same way about Raw, and it's sad.
Yeah.
Like, it's sad that I – dude, when Doc and I talk about this, and fuck, man, I'm agreeing with this dude too much today. On Sundays, when Ring of Honor comes on at 3 o'clock, if I'm not watching it live because I'm out with the kids or we got stuff to do, I know that when I get home on Sunday night, probably before the last thing I do, before, you know, getting ready for the work week on Monday, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to watch 1 hour of Ring of Honor wrestling.
Hell yeah.
And it's going to go by within about 45 to 50 minutes.
And you're
right?
Going to want more.
And I'm going to want more, and I can't wait to watch it next week. Okay. Whereas with Raw, you sat there last night and went through 3 hours, and the whole time, what were you thinking?
When is this shit going to be over?
Thank you. Come on, man. Come on. 10 o'clock.
I'm drowsy as a motherfucker. I wish my fast forward went to 5 instead of only stopping at 4 speeds ahead. Let's go.
Yeah, really.
I mean, it's terrible.
And here's something else. Stop shaking the goddamn camera when you're throwing punches.
Oh, God. That was deplorable. I'm so sick of that. God, this. You know what he's talking about when Hunter was punching Dean when they were by the table. They were like literally shaking the camera like it was in
a
pinpoint. Yeah, like it was going through Katrina and everything. Yes,
that's what I remember. The promotion Luke used to work for on MTV. They used to do that when it'd be like a big slam.
Wrestling Society X.
Yeah, they used to do that. When it was like a big slam, the camera would shake like it was an earthquake.
Did you used to say back then that's real classic?
I used to be like, wow, Luke's a superstar. Got him.
I watched it and said, I bet I'm the only person watching this shit.
Dude, I never watched that shit. I didn't even know that motherfucker was on it until he told me, like, years later.
Yeah,
you never watched Wrestling Society X? No.
Nah, bro.
He's like, nah.
Wrestling Society was on there. Hell yeah? Great. I mean, I got the whole DVD set at the house. It's autographed, too.
That thing's worth money, man. Oh man, let's get to some more topics. I did want to say Thog94 TK, he sent me a tweet. It was actually to me personally, and he was talking about the booking of the Wyatts or Bray. Not let me say it wasn't the Wyatts, Bray and Roman, and he was just kind of like good dudes just being done wrong by booking. And man, Doc, to say you don't like Thog, man. He's spot on whenever he's giving his assessment of the product. He's right, man. WWE booking is doing no favors for Roman or Bray right now.
A broken clock's right twice a day, but yeah, I guess this is one of those.
You can't give the man credit. Can
well,
you,
you know, I think I just did. I said he fell on the right time there.
No. Right. Just give the man credit. Give the man credit. He made a great point. He said Roman and Bray are the same
so
to him.
So let me ask.
He likes them. He wants them to succeed, but the way they're booked. It's lost interest in – he's just lost a lot of interest.
So let's take that a step further. Are the Wyatts – and hell, while we're at it, Kevin Owens even going to be on the WrestleMania card at this point?
Well, you still got 4 Raws,
true.
Right? You still got 12 hours.
You got 128 hours of original programming plus swerved before then. You never know what's going to happen on Total Divas.
You better leave Total Divas alone, dude. That's my gimmick there. I like that. God, I don't know what's going on with the Wyatts. That's a real good question. I have no clue. I mean, they did the thing with Brock, but then they just dropped it.
If you want to see what the Wyatts would be if they didn't have corporate shareholders, go over to TNA Impact and look at that Decay gimmick, and it's creepy as hell. And the Wyatts had some creepy to them at the beginning with those sheep masks, but now they just lose all the time and nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, they do. That's a real good point.
Look at me.
Look. What about look at you?
I'm the whole fucking show.
Why did I ask that question? Freebirds. Freebirds. We got to talk about the Freebirds before we get to the Undertaker.
If I leave here tomorrow.
I missed that part. When Taker came out.
Well, it was like 60 seconds, so we'll give you the synopsis real quick right after we get through the Freebirds. Harper, what do you think about the Freebirds going in? Well, first off, are you glad?
Yeah, I'm glad. That shit should have happened a long-ass time ago.
Dude, this should have happened. How many times did you get in trouble trying to stay up in New Orleans
at
10:35 to watch World Class? Because I was telling Doc that we didn't get it until 10:35 on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
After the Sunday news.
I wonder if there's so many illiterates running around that town. Everybody was up watching wrestling instead of getting their sleep for school.
They're watching the Von Erichs versus the Freebirds.
Bro, that shit was so hot. So here's my thoughts on that. Doc, what are your thoughts on Garvin going in with them?
I don't like it. I mean, Jimmy Garvin was a hell of a performer. And like I said, he had a great feud with Chris Adams and another great feud. They shot a kick-ass angle with David Von Erich where he lost Sunshine to Dave Von Erich made Sunshine his valet. But when I think Freebirds, I think Von Erichs. I don't think Mike Von Erich and I don't think Chris Von Erich. When I think Von Erichs, I think 3-on-3, 6-man tag, Buddy Roberts, Terry Gordy, and Michael Hayes.
Harper, what about you with the Garvin?
I don't care. I mean, whatever, you know.
Yeah,
it's I wonder if some of it is because Gordy and Roberts are dead.
Oh, they need like a live body.
Yeah, he's like a seat filler at the Oscars or whatever.
Yeah,
fluffer or whatever they call it. I don't know.
Man, I didn't think about the fact that they might have included him to have one more. I hate to say it like that.
Because I've heard in the past that Ray Stevens didn't go in last year at WrestleMania in San Francisco because they didn't want so many dead people going in.
Where'd you hear that at? Go ahead.
Everywhere.
Exactly. Dirt sheet reading motherfucker. Look, I hate to do this. I'm going to agree with this idiot again. When I think of the Freebirds, I do think of Michael,
right.
Terry.
Terry Bam Bam. Right.
I think of Roberts. Let me say this. When I think of him, I don't immediately think of Garvin. At the same time, I didn't even think about the angle of making sure you had one more person that was alive in the class, in the Hall of Fame class. So I actually can see that being as why. Let me say not the reason, but a reason that they said, hey, we need to put him in with them. Like, I didn't think about that until just now, but that's a good point. Did you make that point, Harper?
What's that?
Or about making sure we get one more guy that's alive?
Yeah, I think so, man. Because
I didn't think about that, but that's true.
And let me tell you something, kids out there. If you're under the age of 40 and you didn't have the opportunity to watch Terry Bam Bam Gordy in his prime, you need to go on the network or wherever you get your wrestling from the past and watch it. Because that was a big man that could brawl like nobody's business. And if you see some of the
stuff, man.
If you see some of the world-class stuff with him and Brody and the Von Erichs, it is stiff as balls, and it looks like a shootout there.
That's the best thing about watching the that stupid ass Highlander movie was in the very beginning.
Remember that? Yeah. Very beginning. Gordy and the Freebirds at the very beginning of that movie. I'll never forget. Dude, I didn't see that in the movie theater. I saw it at a friend of mine's house, and I remember him. He go, hey, man, you need to watch this movie, Highlander. I was like, I don't want to fucking watch the movie right now. He put in the VCR tape and played it, and when I saw that from the beginning, I was like, oh, I got to watch this.
Yeah.
Just because Freebirds were at the beginning. But you have not experienced professional wrestling if, one, obviously you Mid-South was not something you watched back in the day. But, hey, even if you didn't watch Mid-South because you weren't in that territory, World Class with the Freebirds and the Von Erichs was, no doubt in my mind, maybe top two feuds of all time in professional wrestling that I can recall in my lifetime. It was balls to the wall.
Hot. I used to love that shit,
just,
man.
Hot, freaking you. I mean, you tuned in on every Sunday, at least where we were, to see what the hell was going to happen next in that feud.
you were in Dallas, Texas, it was Channel 11 TV, KTVT, the Super Ones, 10 o'clock Saturday night, and Sunday from the Sportatorium, Sunday evenings. Saturday was from the Will Rogers Coliseum in Cowtown, Fort Worth, Texas.
Yeah, it was some really, really, really good stuff.
And listen, so, we ain't the only ones. Go listen to Ric Flair's podcast every other week when he's from the moon and he's talking about Casper mattresses. He'll tell you, you can't overstate how hot that feud was.
No, you can't. You can't articulate it. You can't explain it to somebody who never witnessed it and never felt it and never saw it. The only regret I never had is I never got to see it in person.
Yeah.
I mean, we were watching it from the sport. We were watching it on TV on a Sportatorium. But everyone I've talked to, I mean, James Beard talked about it when he was on the podcast. Go back and listen to last summer or July and August whenever I had James Beard on. And he said that emotional investment that the fans had back then, it was incredible.
They loved their Von Erichs, man.
Dude, they loved him. Loved him to death.
You saw that picture I posted on Facebook with the Von Erich jacket?
Yeah.
I would love to have that damn jacket, man.
Yeah, I saw it. And that'd be pretty sweet. I bet you could find one on eBay, but it'd cost you a fortune.
Yeah.
It would cost you a pretty penny. Anything else on the Freebirds, Doc, since that was the era that we grew up in enjoying pro wrestling?
No, good for the Freebirds, man. They deserve it.
Yeah, they do. I'm very, very glad to see that they're going in, and it'll be good. I think the one thing that we'll all probably want to see as well is, hey, what is Michael P.S. Hayes going to be wearing at the induction ceremony?
The big old Confederate flag robe.
Oh, you know he's kind of crazy with the suits he wears. So that's what I was thinking too. That dude likes to wear crazy suits. Let me get to some shout outs on Twitter. I asked everybody what they thought of Raw last night. So real quick, these are not questions, just kind of some statements. At Cordell Kevin, Doc's buddy, who Doc doesn't want to go on his video cast that he does. ROH 14th anniversary is the story of the week. Moose proved in his match with Okada that he's the future of ROH. I agree. Moose had a great show on Kevin. No disagreement there.
But Okada showed again why he's the future of New Japan.
Okada's just incredible. TNA had him, didn't they, Doc?
Treated, jobbed him out like a fuckboy, too.
Terrible situation. But, hey, Okada's a talented individual. He can make it. I don't ever see him going to WWE, but stranger things have happened. Clifton611 on Twitter, Clifton Harris says, trying to make the fans cheer for Roman by having his friend get beat down is not going to work. I definitely agree with the way they play that angle out last night. Chase Merriman, Chase M262 says it was a very bad Raw, a really down show. Harper, I'm going to let you address that in a second overall. And then Kyra16 says he loved Ambrose and loved Banks and Becky. I'm going to get to that in a minute. It was a very bad Raw, really down show. Harper, we kind of talked about this, dude.
It was crap, bro.
It was hard to make it through, huh?
It was hard to make it through, man. God damn, was it hard.
It was brutal.
I was going back, and I started watching Better Call Saul.
It was a really slow episode. It was hard to watch.
Yeah.
For the most part. And then the thing is that here, when freaking Taker came out, I'm not going to rake them over the coals because, like, I understand that they still have all this TV left. Now, we know Taker's probably not going to do a SmackDown in between now and then, but you still got four Raws left, if I'm looking at my calendar right, before Mania. So you still got 12 hours of TV. Taker comes out and basically tells Vince that the blood of McShane is going to be on Vince's hand because he does what he does. They still haven't told the story of why Taker would want to back Vince in this situation. So maybe that gets told. I don't know. I'm trying to just live in the moment of the fact that, hey, him and Shane are going to fight, even though I think there's going to, again, with 3 hour Raws and four of them left, 12 hours, I still think there's some other twist that is going to happen before this thing is all said and done. But Harper, you really didn't, I mean, Taker's walk to the ring was much longer than anything he did in the ring. I mean, I know he walked slow, but Doc, what were your thoughts on Taker, the Taker segment?
I think you said it, man. I don't know why they're doing this. I don't know why he would agree to this. And, hey, I like Undertaker. You can't deny his legacy. I like Shane O'Mac. And for a guy that was the son of a billionaire, he did a lot in the ring he didn't have to do. But when you start totaling it up, we were making fun of that Gracie Shamrock fight because they were 101 years old. Add Undertaker and Shane up, and it's 97 years old, 97 years of wrestling. They're old.
Okay. Doc, I got a question from Fred in the email
box. Hi, Fred.
Box.
How you doing?
Fred says, Doc, what'd you say, Harper?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. Doc says, Fred says, Doc, give us your professional and not so professional analysis on Stephanie McMahon's speech and segment from Raw as she finally accepted her Vincent J. McMahon award last night.
Stephanie was looking scrumptious as always. she was looking good out there. And you know what? You know, you talk about what do I think about The Undertaker out there. I wonder if sometimes the McMahons are making sure that they stack the deck so that, I mean, Stephanie is a hell of a heel, and she was awesome last night giving that little speech. And Vince was Vince out there saying, you know, I love Shane so – he said, I love Shane more than Shane loves me, and I think there was some shoot in that.
Oh,
so, of course. So I think, you know, hey, the only other guy on the roster that comes close as a heel to them is Kevin Owens, and look how he's being booked. So there you go. So for what she was asked to do, she was awesome, and she looked good doing it too. But who else is going to get over as a heel besides a McMahon?
She's a good heel. Yeah. Did you see the segment? Did you see it, Harper?
No, but, I mean, she's really good at it, man.
She puts it on, dude. She is a hell of a heel. It was a good segment. I was fine with it. You know, it filled some time. It made me stop and made me watch it, unlike some of the things that I saw in there.
You mean like the Natalia Subway commercial?
Dude, right when I saw that sandwich and that drink sitting there, and I was like, man, don't tell me they got her doing a Subway commercial. Because it was sitting there perfect.
Harper, this fool today, Mike Mills was like, man, it took me a long time to figure out that was really a commercial.
Yeah, dude, no. Dude, right when I saw that sandwich and that Coke, the drink is positioned perfectly when you see Subway. And I was like, man, they got this girl doing Subway commercials. As talented as she is, she's like, oh, eat the Subway chicken sandwich. Like,
I got two things on this issue. One, I was looking at Natalia, and because probably besides Sasha Banks,
she's a very attractive woman. I mean,
Natalia,
person, you know, like in the back, and she's, you know,
oh, she's attractive. God, Tyson Kidd's a lucky man. So, like I said, besides Sasha, we're gonna get to that in a minute, though. No, here was the thing, man. I was staring at her, so I did not see it at first. And yes, when it came up, I was like, oh, but this fucking idiot Doc tells me something earlier today. He says, yeah, man, they're talking about being healthy and eating Subway. It wasn't but a few months ago before Tyson got injured that her and Tyson were promoting Burger King chicken fries.
It's
Do you remember that when they did the Burger King chicken fries commercial?
Yeah, I remember that.
That goes to show you, everyone, corporate dollars play the biggest part in professional wrestling, especially at WWE, where it's sports entertainment.
They didn't think we'd remember that shit.
Fuck, I remember when they did the commercial for, what was it, Mike's Hard Lemonade or something? It was one of those beers.
I didn't see that. Yeah. I can believe it, though. Yeah, I mean, that don't shock me at all. It doesn't shock me. Hey, real quick, gotta get some plugs before we start getting to wrap this thing up for our sponsors. Jason Smith from Farmers Insurance, I appreciate you sponsoring the show. If you are in the market for insurance, even if you're not in the market for insurance, whether it's for your home, auto, anything that you need, life insurance, give my buddy Jason a call or email him. You can email him at jason@goodguyllc.com. You can call him directly at 972-834-2516. If you email him, he can do your free assessment and quote via email. He won't even have to call you. He won't even have to really, you know, you can send him everything that you need covered and your specific information via email. Just tell him, hey, you want a free assessment. He won't hassle you. He will save you some money, though. I want to say thanks to TNA's Wrestling Palace. Go over there. Get you some knee pads like Harper's got. 469-337-8537. They're on Facebook at TNA's Wrestling Palace. And they will hook you up with all of your wrestling memorabilia needs, especially the old school WWE toys if you're like a collector of some sort. And then lastly, I want to say thanks to Better Choices. If you're trying to lose anywhere from 10 to 100 pounds, or if you just want to live a healthier lifestyle, get some help with meal planning. Check them out at www.betterchoices.co.
Hey, how come you don't tell all those fat asses where we work to get about Better Choices?
That's nice.
Harper, hit him with the catchphrase.
That's real classy. Those are good people, okay? They got thyroid problems.
Their thyroid must weigh 128 pounds.
And it's stuck right in that damn cubicle with the damn Kathy comic strip calendar right there, right on the damn wall.
You know, sometimes I just want to say to tell people at work when they start. I can't say that.
Say it.
Someone might listen to this. Somebody might hear this. It's like when people at work start just fussing and just, you know, just getting on your nerves. They just want to be, just blow me. I mean, just shut the fuck up. God. I got a nutcase. I've talked about her before that sits next to me. And Jesus Christ.
The real classy one?
Just a fucking whack job. This bitch needs to be on any fucking antidepressant, they need to put her on whatever the shit that they give people to bring them down a notch because they're bouncing off the walls. She needs to be on that type
heroin.
Of shit.
You call smoking J, dog.
Somebody needs to put a blunt in her fucking ass and just have her smoke it just so she can calm the fuck down. God.
That's what I do.
Where was I at?
That's what I do right before we start up.
Man, no, you don't. I did one more question, or two more actually. One was real quick. Trent says Dolph loses to the Miz in about 2 minutes time. How terrible was that? Absolutely terrible. I'm a Dolph fan. I'm just the way they treat the dude. Just beat Kevin Owens, right?
Right. Yeah, but I don't know what the fuck they're doing with him. It's like one day he's like grooming to be a true contender, you know, like he's gonna be Hulk Hogan or something. And then he's like back to being Coco Beware. It makes no sense.
Hey, Coco Beware is a Hall of Famer.
I know, huh? That's still crazy.
I just don't get it. This guy beat.
Who's a world champion?
Hold on. No. What I was going to say was Dolph beat Kevin Owens, I think in back-to-back Raws a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Before Owens won the IC title from Dean. And yet, this week, he loses in, I'd have to look it up, but I know it was under 2 minutes time.
It was really quick.
To the Miz.
It was a two-stroke poke.
I'm just like, see that, honestly, beyond the whole Shane McMahon and should he be back type bullshit and all this, that's the thing. Like, cause
I'll overlook Shane O'Mac not being there this week if you'll put on a few good wrestling matches.
Well, no, what I'm saying is people that are criticizing, because I get it. People are like, oh, well, it's short-term booking. There's no long-term booking. You know what? They do have a point with the whole Shane O'Mac thing. It could be short-sighted. It could be to get the pop at WrestleMania. We get that. But the thing that really like, makes me mad, so I understand that concern, is this, like, Dolph, I mean, he's like, this guy could be a world champion. He's got all the tools. Well, why do we treat him like this? He loses to the Miz in less than a minute.
Yeah,
that type of stuff frustrates me when I see things like that. We haven't even gotten to the Y2 AJ tag team thing. I don't even want to talk about that.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't even know what I think about it, to be honest with you. I just don't. I don't. I have no thoughts on it. And that's it.
I want to thank Hulkshead for being one of my four followers on Twitter. Hulkshead is an interesting Twitter follow if you want to have some fun and hear a guy speak in Hulk Hogan voice all the time.
Hulk's head's cool, man. Hulk's head, he always retweets the show. He done bought a few T-shirts, and he said he's going to buy a few more. Man, Hulk's head is
– you always got to rub that T-shirt money in our fucking faces, don't you?
That's nice. Hey, he's the one that told me to keep the T-shirt. He's a – You know what, Doc? Fuck you. You're not going to get a T-shirt. I got one for Harper. I'm going to bring him up next – from now.
And I also want to give a shout out to Wayne G. That's at MWG 43 Faux Life. He's one of my four valuable, vetted, cleared the application process followers.
When you went to go follow Thog, what happened? Thog 94.
I've only followed one thing, and it was because somebody. It was the first person who followed me. It's called Booking the Territory. Is that you? Booking the territory.
Okay, so I want you to go try to follow Thog and then tell me what happens.
Why would I chase him down?
Because he knows a lot more about wrestling than you.
You
ever
should have him on the show then.
I just may do that. Stacy wants to know, hey, thoughts on Sasha and the Becky match in the ending? And Mike, I'm not talking about how you drooled all over your remote when Sasha came out.
She came out last night.
God, did she?
She's a lesbian. Dude,
there's something about her.
What, Sasha? Pauper.
There's something about her.
She has that exotic look because she's mixed, isn't she?
I don't give a shit if she's green or pink or purple or fucking indigo.
Hot, bro.
Did your wife slap you on the back of the head during that shit?
Nah, she wasn't in the other. She was in the other room. I made sure to double check. I looked left and I looked right, make sure she wasn't in here. I was like, all right, well, it's like time to party.
And then you started grabbing
your nut. Too, bro. But once I hear that fucking accent, I'm like, God, you gotta go.
Becky's all right, man. I can't say that about Becky. She's cool,
you
but
know, like Braveheart. I can't deal with it, bro.
Nah, that's not why I can't dig her. It's just, but God, Sasha. Oh,
yeah, goodness. Sasha's fine, bro. I ain't gonna lie.
You don't know how much, man. when I had Brian Fury on the first time, I wanted to ask him because you know she trained with him. Mm. I wanted to ask him, hey man, how cool is she? I didn't ask him nothing about Sasha. I completely stayed away from Sasha. All I said, actually, he's the one that brought it up. He's like, you know, to say that I played a part in training. Well, he trained Dijak, and he played a part in training Hansen and Sasha. He brought it up. I didn't even want to bring it up. I just left it alone. But I'm looking forward to talking to that dude again about the top prospect tournament. But, whoever sent this to me, who is this? Let me scroll back up. I can't even find it now. But I was all right. I didn't drool all over my remote. But man, she's an attractive girl. I mean, what do you want me to say, man? I'm a, you know, well, I don't want to Harperize her like Harper does.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
All right, y'all. Hey Doc, you got anything else, man? I think that's all I got, man. Before Harper and I might have to call Harper. Harper, what's your battery looking like on your Skype right now on your computer?
On the computer, I got like a half an hour.
Okay, I'm going to have to call you on your cell phone to finish this up. So I'll do that then. Doc, man, before I start wrapping this puppy up, you got anything else? Did I miss anything that the greatest fucking idiot, Dr. Turner, wants to discuss tonight?
You're going to start treating me with some respect or you're going to feel the consequences, pal.
I'm not going to feel shit. Harper, we're going to talk about Wildcat in a minute, so I'll let you plug all that stuff when you and I go talk. One discussion and we get rid of the dead weight that we got that we're carrying on the podcast. I do have some show plugs I got to give before Harper and I continue with our discussion, and that is March 5th, Dibble Middle School in Oklahoma at Dibble Middle School.
I'm going up there to that.
IWR presents Night of Honor. Ray Rowe is on it. Yes, Raymond Rowe, one half of the current Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions. Saturday, March 12th, Metter, Louisiana, Meisler Middle School. I will be there. I'll give Harper his Book in the Territory T-shirt. I got a lot of information to cover about that, but Brian Kendrick is going to be there. Stevie Richards will be there. I saw a couple of the matches signed already. So for one, I'm going to shout out three of them right now, or four of them right now before we get to Harper and I's part of the podcast, but we got Stevie Richards, Shane Taylor, and Mike Dell, triple threat match. I assume the Wildcat heavyweight title is on the line. So Stevie Richards, Shane Taylor, and Mike Dell, Mike Dell and Shane Taylor being two of the better independent wrestling workers there are today. And then, of course, everyone who knows who Stevie Richards is. There's another triple threat match with Buku Dao, and I think it's Ray Orris and Leo Rush, that's current in the top prospect tournament. So you don't want to miss that one. Luke is going to be in there mixing it up with Brian Kendrick. I don't know if those two have ever worked each other before or wrestled each other before. So that's a pretty good one as well. And then Harper and I will discuss the rest of the card shortly when we head over to our discussion and we get rid of the dead weight that we need to get rid of.
How are you going to hang up and still interview Harper?
Saturday, March 19th, Mansfield, Louisiana, Mansfield High School, 6 p.m. bell time. We have a main event. Is going to mix it up again with Big Daddy Yum Yum, Moonshine Mantell. I forget who else is on that card. I assume the Manimal is on that card as well. We're going to talk more about that. I actually think I saw Buku Dao's name on that flyer as well.
Yeah, Buku Dao's all over the place, bro.
Yeah, March 19th in Mansfield. And did Matt work the main event show this past?
Yeah, I know. Matt worked it. Who did he work with?
I thought I saw him on a poster.
Yeah,
I couldn't remember.
He worked it. I think maybe Buku Dao worked it too. I know a couple of them went up there.
Okay, so we got... I know, like I said, Buku's going to be up there with the main event. That's March 19th, Mansfield, Louisiana, 6 p.m., Mansfield High School. March 31st, the big show that is in Fort Worth. Harper, you and I got to talk about when you're coming up or when you guys are coming up. March 31st, IHWE, NWA Parade of Champions. I interviewed the promoter, David Fuller, last week. That episode, or it will air shortly. I mean, I really don't need to say anything else. Jim Cornette's going to be there. There you go. That's all. Just go if you want to see Jim Cornette, because I'm sure he's going to be doing something. He's doing a live podcast before. I got an invite. Doc did not get an invite.
Damn.
Rub it in, Doc.
I'm going to be all over WrestleMania weekend. If you're out and about, I want you to find me and come up and say hi to me, because there'll be a lot of different events, and I want to interact with all my fans.
Yeah, whatever. Jim Cornette will be there. I actually got an invite as a part of the media to attend a media-only portion that's going to happen right before the live Jim Cornette Experience podcast that is actually taking place. So I got an invite. And basically, I was told I could interview whoever I wanted when I go to that invite, as long as they were willing. So
I'm willing. So yeah. You can interview me. That's all right.
And then last thing I want to do before Harper and I discuss, you know, go through his journey in professional wrestling, I want to give a shout out to my boys at the Shining Wizards podcast. They actually have on tonight, they're just wrapping up, Mick Foley, a.k.a. Mankind, a.k.a. Cactus Jack. Give Shining Wizards podcast a listen. They always do a great job. They produce a very, very good show. They are an independent podcast just like we are, but they produce a really, really good show. So check them out, Shining Wizards podcast. You will enjoy what they do. Again, they got Cactus Jack on this week. That's pretty much all I got. So we're going to close things out for a second. I'm gonna wrap up. We're gonna be right back in a second with myself and Hardbody Harper, the best professional wrestling manager there is, Paul Heyman. So Harper, before we start the interview, what do we always say, man? Say it.
Book it, bitches.
All right, bro. We rolling, dude. It's recording, so.
All right. It sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, you sound like you fucking Ric Flair right now on the moon, but.
Woo!
Everybody listening, Harper don't have his battery charger for his laptop, and he's sitting at Wildcat Sports at school right now, so he ain't got no way to get juice, and his laptop's about to die. So that's why we going old school on a telephone line right now. So I apologize for the audio, but you can blame the greatest wrestling manager there is for the audio difficulties.
Yeah, my bad.
Nah, it's cool, dude. Ain't no big deal. All right, man, so let's jump into this thing. You've been on this – you remember when you started doing the show with us?
It was –
you have any
– it was during the summertime.
That's what I thought.
It was during the summertime because Doc had a had something happen, and you, like, hit me up, like, you want to work? And I was like, yeah, I'll do it. So.
Yeah, it like I said, it was a thing where what happened was, I don't remember. I was in town in August. That's what it was. I was in town in August. I was getting ready to go on a cruise, and Luke and I met up. Y'all were going out that night. I probably would have went out if my wife wouldn't have been with me, but I wasn't about to go on a bunch of dudes with my wife. Yeah, a recipe for disaster. But yeah, man, nah, I was like, fuck, man, I got to get Harper on the show. My intention was I just bring you on for an interview, you know, do your thing, and we go from there. And then the day Doc had a little issue come up, talking about he didn't want to be mentally irregular, I was like, fuck, I got to get somebody to do it. And you were the first one that came to mind. I was like, fuck, man, Luke told me to call Harper, so let me send him a message and see if I can get him on. Sure enough, the shit went off, and little did I know, we'd be 6 months later, and the podcast would be rolling, and the people would be wanting Harper to Harperize him every week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, dude, one thing I hate about Pro Wrestling Podcasts, I thought this was funny because Luke said this the other day when he posted about podcasts, but I hate to go like, oh, yeah, let's talk about wrestling story.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, yeah.
So, I mean, like, I do like to – the only time I like to do it is when it's somebody who's never told how they got into the business. Like, I don't mind doing it then, but, yeah, like, that'd be like if I had on, like, a Kurt Angle or somebody.
Yeah,
hey, how'd
fucking,
you get into wrestling?
Right, fucking Hacksaw, and he's got to say the same damn story 1,000 times.
Right, he's told 500 million people. Kind of like, okay, when I had Luke on, the last thing we talked about was how he got started in wrestling. It was about whatever current shit was going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm going to let you so we won't talk too much about it, but I will let you kind of give your deal about, you know, how you got into pro wrestling.
Yeah. Well, it started when I was a bouncer with Orrin Hawkhurst at Step Brothers. And yeah, some guy came up to me. He's like, "Dude, where's Luke at tonight?" I was like, "Who?" It's like, "Luke, bro. He's not working tonight." And I was like, "Bro, there's no Luke here." And he's like, "Yeah, bro, the guy that has the fire tattoos on his arm." I was like, "You mean Orrin?" Yeah. He says, "Yeah." I said, "Well, he's not here tonight. He's probably working a show somewhere or something." And then the next weekend, when I saw him, I said, "Yeah, bro, some guy was here. They're calling you Luke." And he was like, "Yeah, that's my wrestling name." And I was like, "Wait, what?" He's like, "Yeah, man, I'm a wrestler." Because, I mean, back then, he was this little scrawny kid. And I didn't believe him, you know? I thought he was one of these West Bank turds. And then I Googled him, and I was like, "Holy shit, this guy's like the real deal. He's like a real wrestler doing crazy-ass shit in front of, like, real, you know, crowds, you know?" And that's when I was like, "Damn, bro." And so we just started hanging out, and he's like, "Dude, I go on a road by myself. I want to ride with me." And I was like, "Okay." So I would ride with him to these shows, and because he would just go there by himself, sitting in the car for, like, you know, 4 or 5 hours. So, I mean, I was a huge fan. I watched Raw and SmackDown, and even I watched TNA constantly back then. And so I would just sit in the car with him, and he would just tell all these old stories. And then we started going to the gym together because I got tired of getting laid every other leap year. And then at the gym, that's when he was like, "Bro, I'm gonna start a wrestling school with Orlando." I was like, "Yeah, right, bro. Ain't gonna happen because I'm so used to hearing people talk shit." And then, but I mean, sure enough, he did it. And he asked me if I wanted to do it. I was like, "Bro, I can't do that stuff, man. I'm too damn old to be being in that, you know, taking body slams." He's like, "Do it, bro. You know, you should try it. I could use it as a manager because you have personality." And that's what I did. And it started off from there, and it kicked my ass I hated Orlando because he just handed my ass to me day after day after day, and he just kicked the crap out of all of us. And it was me, Matt, Jack, Sicaro, Blake, which is, you know, he's gone, Jack's gone, and Antonio. He didn't last a half an hour, but that was it. That was the birth of Wildcat, and that's where it all started. So
the original that are still is you, Matt, and Carlos, right?
Me, Matt, and Carlos, and then the second class was Saeed, who's our ref, and Buku Dao showed up.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so, I know you. You didn't tell me that before. How you got stretched.
Yeah, I mean I couldn't roll because I never done this anything close to this before. I couldn't roll. I couldn't do a shoulder roll. I couldn't do anything, and I could tell they were getting frustrated with me because they're all 10 years younger than me, if not more. So they were really clicking doing this, and I was the weakest link. But Orlando just, he stayed with me and kept it, and he kept pushing me when I honestly wanted to quit. And he said, no, you're not quitting. He said, keep on going. And, I finally got it. So I'm glad, I didn't quit because I would have been stupid. So.
Now, a lot of people don't realize what it takes, man. I mean, the story's been told a million times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a physical commitment. I mean, you can't really explain it to somebody who's never done it before. You know, you're talking about being older. So, all right, it's 2016 now. What was that? 2010, 2011?
Yeah, something like that. I'm 39, so.
Okay, so you about 34 when you got started.
Right.
I was telling what's his name, the general manager of Wildcat, Al?
Yeah, Al.
Al and I were talking at the last show, and I don't know, were you out there when I got in the ring and I was running the ropes and me and Devin were there?
Yeah.
Screwing around? Were you out there?
Okay, yeah.
Were you laughing at me?
Yeah.
Okay, well, like, Al was talking about, I was like, Devin, I hadn't been in the ring and ran ropes since probably 2007 or 8. I got out and Devin and I were talking and Al and I were talking. I said, man, I'm only 40, but man, you get to a point in life, man, your body just don't feel the same. It's like in your mind, you tell it to do something, but it won't do it the way you envision you doing it. So like when you say, I'm getting old, bro, you were in there with like 18 and 19, 20 year olds.
Right.
That's
yeah.
A whole ballgame. That's
I mean, they were running circles around me. I mean, cause they were like in there. Early 20s, barely old enough to buy a six pack of beer.
Yeah, you sitting there thinking to yourself, shit, man, I've been fucking bitches. I've been on Tinder. And I
I didn't know what the hell that shit was back then.
I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, because I was in peak physical condition back then. I looked like a Greek statue back then. So I was like, bro, y'all can't break me, bro. There's no way y'all could break me. Because I used to train like I was, in Rocky IV type shit every day. I would push myself on the treadmill and throw weights around every day. And I was like, bro, y'all can't break me. It ain't happening. I can run circles around y'all. And nope, they kicked my ass.
Well, it's a whole new ball game when you're going up against 20-year-olds, man. I mean, come on, man. Dude, you gotta realize, man, when you're in your early 20s, you know what kind of – I mean – you're just full of a lot more energy. You got a lot more stamina. There's a lot more piss and vinegar going on than between 20 than when you're 35 or even get up to 40. That's a whole new. It's a whole different ball game. So, all right. So just that happened. Y'all got through your training. I only met Orlando once. So I don't know what he was like to train with, but he was cool when I met him.
He's a natural born teacher for this. There's no doubt about that.
Really.
And that's why I think Matt and Buku Dao and Sicaro are so good because he's the one that helped mold them. and that's why they're so damn good. So that's the thing. Like, you see, with us, I mean, we had Orlando Jordan and Luke Hawks in the ring with us three days a week. So we were forced to be that good because we had top of the line people showing us, you know, how to do things and how to be a character in psychology and how to sell and how to work a body part. So,
and Orlando was fresh off of his WWE run at that point, and he was TNA, wasn't he?
Right. He was in TNA still.
Yeah. Now, like I said, he was pretty cool when I met him. I only met him at one time on one of the shows. He was a cool guy, man. He talked for a minute. Not too long, but the thing that shocked me about him was I couldn't believe how tall he was. You sit there and see a guy on TV, you don't realize how tall they are, and you stand next to him, you're like, God damn, man, this guy's pretty tall. I never even realized.
He is about 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah, so, I mean, that was the one thing I remember. I remember about him. So, y'all finished y'all training, man, and, dude, first time you went out there and managed, what were you thinking?
I was scared as hell, nervous, I just fed off the crowd, and then I think our first show was at a military base with a bunch of little kids screaming, so it was real easy to feed off a bunch of little kids because they're going to scream and they're going to, you know, do that thing. So it was a lot easier dealing with them. And when I was the most scared out of my damn mind was when Luke had me do I was a plant. And I didn't know jack shit about wrestling. And he had Al, which is like crazy, like an A-Rab guy. And he was managing Vordell. And he had him throw the fire paper in my face. And I was like, dude, I know nothing about what's going on here. Because I was just a fan. This was way before Wildcat. And he had me get into the ring. And I was like, I didn't know how to get in the ring, bro. Like, I know nothing. I'm just some dude wearing a T-shirt, bro. And I watch it on TV. And I get in the ring, and they're like, I forgot why, but they were, like, asking me questions for some fucking reason. And then that's when Al came out with Vordell, like, you know, what the hell are you doing in here? Blah, blah, blah. And he threw the fire paper in my face. And I had to, you know, fall and sell it. And it, that shit came close, man. That shit came.
Yeah, that's enough to scare the shit out of you.
Yeah. I had to check my fucking eyebrows after that shit. That was probably when I was the most scared because I didn't know what the hell was going on. Because I knew absolutely nothing.
You had already trained. You were training.
No, bro. This was before Wildcat. This was before Wildcat was even spoken of.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking you were talking about after.
No. This was when I was just, hey, what's up, Luke? You know, and I knew nothing about wrestling.
So what? You managed at the very first Wildcat show, though.
Right. I managed, we had one in Biloxi. I mean, not in Biloxi, one in Belchase at the Navy base, and it was Joe Kane, and I managed Rough and Ready, Jack and Matt. And then the next night was the official Wildcat show in Slidell, and I managed them again.
The first one was in Slidell?
Yeah, it was at some, for like the boys' home or something. And I forgot what the name was.
Okay, I remember now. Damn, that feels like forever. I didn't realize
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, that was forever ago. And then it was the Hangar, which was great. We were, you know, a bar that was infested with our roaches that had bullet holes in the wall.
I remember the pictures from the Hangar. And it just it looked like a really grungy.
It was real grungy, bro. It was literally had cockroaches all over the damn place. Like, it was like that show that they used to come on MTV, A Joe's Apartment, back in the day with the talking cockroaches. That's what it was like, bro. And it was like they had bullet holes in the wall, and I was like, you know, so what, man? Let's go out there and do this shit.
That's how it is, man. And that was a start. See, that's what's funny, though, because, like, look where things started with the promotion.
Yep. I will never forget that shit, bro.
And look where things are at and where they're going. And I got to say this for every motherfucker out there who says, I don't promote other promotions. Did I not mention Main Event earlier? Did I not mention Imperial Wrestler Revolution earlier? Did I not mention, you know, the Jim Cornette show that's going to be here WrestleMania weekend? Because I get tired of getting fucking hate mail from people talking about who I support and who I don't support. Go fuck yourself. Quit trying to, you know, send me bullshit emails. Anyway, I had to say that while we're talking about it. Because I say that to say, you know, everybody's got to start somewhere. And the promotion's got to start somewhere. And you started at, you know, the hangar, let's just say.
Yeah.
To, you know, 150 people. To grow it to where you can put 1,000 people in. I mean, that's saying a lot, man, because it's hard to draw 1,000 people in independent wrestling. I mean, not every independent wrestling promotion does it.
Right.
I mean, we talk about it all the time, how you get these shit show promotions out there. And I'm not talking about in Louisiana.
Because they don't care, bro. They don't care. They're just playing. They're playing a wrestler.
You said it best. They're playing wrestler.
Because I've been to those shows, bro, and you're sitting in the back, the guy got your bag, and they're rolling, hey, what's up, man? Hey, what's up, man? Hey. Everyone shakes hands. They're like, okay, so who you work with tonight? Blah, blah, blah. And they go over the match. The show's over. They get the envelope. All right, see you later. And that's the end of it. They will not think of that promotion again. But at a Wildcat, it's a team. We're all in this shit together. And that's why we're so successful, where it's not just, you know, I see you on the 12th. No, I'm going to see you tonight. I'm going to see you Thursday night. And I'm going to see you Saturday morning. Because we're all in this together to see this grow. And I think that's why we've been so successful, is because it's all of us in this together. To make this grow, it's not just, you know, you show up in the back and, hey, what's up, man? And then you do your job and you get your envelope and you drive home. It's not like that here.
Yeah.
Everyone here is on the same page, and it's to get as big as you possibly can. And that's what separates us from the other guys.
And even the people that are, I guess, aren't Wildcat trained, but aren't, like, quote unquote, you know, like a Shane Taylor, he didn't come out of Wildcat school. But
no.
when you talk to him, you know, he promotes obviously the other stuff that he does, but
right.
At the top of the list, he also promotes. If you notice, there's only a few promotions that he's like, I'll promote, you know, and
right.
I'm
that he truly associates himself with.
Right, right.
Because it's not just a job to him. It's not just an envelope. He knows a good thing when he sees it.
Right. And goes out there and does a hell of a job. So, I mean, even like a guy like him or I'm trying to think of
Mike Dell.
I mean, Mike Dell's another one. Like, you know, again, he's a solid – God, Mike Dell's so good. Like,
Mike Dell is like one of those guys that he's like Steve Anthony and Luke. You could put him in any situation – In any kind of match, and they're going to hit a home run.
Mike Dell's so good. Like, I've seen him live in person. I've seen some YouTube stuff of him, and that guy is just underrated. Like, and when I say underrated, I'm not talking about by people who know wrestling. I'm talking about just by the general casual independent wrestling fan that may have never seen him. They'll hear the name Mike Dell. They don't realize that dude is so good. It's incredible. I mean, he's just a hell of a talent. It's it probably doesn't get the recognition he deserves, you know, from people who just don't know. But that goes back to something like Vordell said something to me when I was talking to him at the end of the last show. It's like, man, the problem is you don't see guys like that on TV every week, so they don't. That's why they don't get the recognition they deserve.
Yeah.
But they're just as good as they're just as talented as guys that you see on TV weekly.
They
whether,
are.
Whether people realize it or not.
And that's why we have 1,000 people at our shows. It's that, you see, the problem is people go to a show and, you know, they have in their mind of what professional wrestling is. And it's what they see on television. And when they show up to a show and they see a guy wearing cutoff jeans who looks like he's a assistant manager at a Jiffy Lube.
Well, it's because he is assistant manager.
Right. But, I mean, could you not look it? And
Can you look the part?
Yeah, right. Could you look the part? And then the next guy comes out, he looks like that, and the next guy, and the next guy, and it's like this is bullshit. But
I'm gonna catch shit for what you just said, because they'll say, "Motherfucker, when you wrestled, you didn't look the part." Hold on, 1 second. I had a singlet on. It was underneath a jersey, and I did have wrestling boots. I did have wrestling boots, and I had a singlet on. So before you go there. Because I know somebody listening to this will fucking pull up some fucking online World of Wrestling profile and see some shit like that. But anyway, go ahead, Harp. I didn't want to cut
you
off.
And everyone here, though, looks the part, and they dress the part, and they act the part because they are the part. Everyone here is true professional wrestlers. You know?
I mean, not a weekend warrior.
No, I mean, actually, some of these guys, like, man, I was like, I could work circles around these some of these people, man. Like, fuck.
You laughing? Did you hear what Devin told me when I was in the ring at the last show? When he said, I was like, he goes, "You want me to bump you? We were doing some shit." I was like, nah. I was like, if I did, I'd get Harper. He goes, "Oh, fuck that. You don't want that motherfucker doing anything to you." Danny Flamingo special right there. The Shalation sensation. Don't let Harper touch you. He's uncoordinated.
That's nice.
That's real nice of him, isn't it? You can't shut Devin up half the time.
Nah. He's the only heel I never managed.
That's crazy, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he don't need one.
No, you don't. I mean, I fuck with him all the time. Like, I was like, "Bro, you need a manager, dude. You need a manager, man. You need a manager. Bro, you know I don't have no part in that." I know, man. Devin
is the last person who needs a manager. He could put himself over.
He don't need a manager whatsoever. That's true. But yeah, man, you got to look the part, and it's a like you said, it's a promotion that's got good things. And man, there's others out there. I mean, you know, like I said, Main Event. That's another.
Yeah,
one.
Main Event. They're awesome.
You saw how many people they had at the show this weekend?
Right. I mean, that's the thing. You got guys who look the part and they dress the part and they are a part, and that's what you attract.
Well, the thing is, they treat it like it's real and not
and they
some
take
play.
It serious, right?
They take it serious, like Yum. God, I'm gonna say his name. Byron and them, they'll have like press conferences. Dude, they had fucking 200 people at a press conference.
Yeah. I was talking to Matt. I was like, "How'd that go?" You know, he said. It went well, so.
Oh, I mean, when you got 150 people at a press conference, I mean, you can't expect anything better. But that's good fucking wrestling. I mean, that's how when you present your product as professional, that's what comes off, and that's the thing that I see. I always find it funny because, like, I don't like saying people's names, but because I have a feeling of who people are that. Inbox the show and shit. And, now, you know, I've told you, I get these fucking dumbass idiots and, you supporting Wildcat. Dude, here's the thing. I've supported Wildcat back when they were putting 150 people in the building from the start. I didn't have a podcast at that time when I was when I would, you know, talk to Luke and talk to, him there and we would talk about what's going on with the shows, but man, I was supporting it back then. This ain't some shit where I'm like all of a sudden, "Oh yeah, you know, I think they do a good thing and then the talent there is good." I mean, this is not something that's new. I recognize good talent and I bring good talent on, and that's why I've promoted the shows that I promote and promote the organizations that I promote. Because it brings a good name to wrestling. That's my thing. Cause
that's why
more people. Go ahead.
I'm so protective over it because I know how far that we came. You know, if you slip up a little bit, you can go back to that.
And you can go back to it, and it makes you appreciate.
Yes.
That's the number one thing from people who, have spent any time on the indies, especially good indies, is that you have experienced, the 100 people in a house. Therefore,
yeah.
When you have the large crowd, you know how good it feels.
Yeah, we used to have to get dressed, and some guy. It was some dude's like studio apartment that was like the size of a damn broom closet. And it was like, remember how on Happy Days when Fonzie lived above the garage?
Yeah.
It was like that. Basically, that's what it was. And that was our dressing room. And it was all of us in this little bitty ass, I guess, an elaborate studio apartment. And it was horrible. And it was disgusting. And I'll never forget that. And that's why I'm so protective over what goes down here and kind of, who represents us. So
it makes you appreciate where you've been. It makes you appreciate it more because you've been there from the start. And that's what's funny about just anything in life. I mean, when you feel like you've earned it, it makes you appreciate it that much more.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. So, all right, we got the show coming up on the 12th, and what's going on? And are you managing Carlos now, Socorro?
Yeah, Socorro. Yeah. So
it's only person
him.
Managing, right?
Huh?
That's the only person you're managing, right?
Yes. I'll be managing Socorro, and he'll be working with. He'll be going up against Scott Phoenix.
Carlos will win.
Huh?
Carlos will win.
Carlos
is going to win. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's got you in his corner. Carlos will win. He'll be fine. Carl will be fine.
I hope so. Because I only associate myself with winners. So, he better win. I mean, look at Matt Lancey. Look at Steve Anthony.
That's fucked up, though, man, what happened with you and Steve Anthony, man.
Go fuck that dude, bud.
Okay. I hear you, man. I ain't mad at you. I just can't believe. I can't believe you're only managing one dude right now. That's the thing that always gets me. I'm like,
who else am I going to manage? He's the only heel besides Danny. Danny Flamingo.
Yeah, yeah. No, I guess you're right. Nah, it's true.
Yeah.
It just feels weird. That's right. So, did you ever manage Matt Lancey singles, or was it just when he
no.
was Rough and Ready?
I managed him since day one, from when he was with Rough and Ready with Jack, and then Jack, he called it quits, and we killed him off, and then it was Matt going solo. And then Matt exploded, and it was kind of like, he was at the point where, I kind of overstayed my welcome, and it was time for him to kind of kick him out the nest.
Kick him out the nest.
And to like have him fly on his own, because he was, Matt's awesome. I miss managing Matt, because he was with me since day one, and he gets it.
Go ahead.
Well, I just enjoy watching him work, and he's just so damn good at what he does.
Hey, for everybody who's wondering, we're talking about Matt Lancey from Wildcat Sports. Matt's real intense is the best way I can explain it when he's in the ring. He's like, I've actually never talked to him personally, so I don't know how he is.
A regular. He's real mellow and just, hey, how you doing? But the
in
moment
the
he's,
ring.
Yeah, once you step between those ropes, bro, I hope you pack your lunch.
Yeah. I was at one of the shows I was at was him and Socorro that were wrestling at night. They beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
You know what's mad I'm talking about? It was
before the Revolution title.
I don't remember, but Dave.
That was probably the bull rope match.
That was it. They beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, poor old Carlos. Like,
let me say something. Let me say this. For two guys that are friends and know each other, they didn't hold nothing back.
No, nah.
I was sitting right there. Well, I mean, I was in the bleachers, but I was like, my wife even looked at me because I was one of the ones. She came down and she's like, they're killing each other. Like, yeah, they really are.
Yeah, Matt can get stiff, man.
Neither one of them. They freaking murdered each other. They were plastering each other. I mean, I'm sitting there going, but you know what? That's good because I don't know if that match is on YouTube. It needs to be. It may be on there. If it is, it'll be on Wildcat Sports' YouTube channel. So go look it up. The thing about it is, okay, people know that you know, y'all know each other. So for that fact, and you're performing in your hometown, you better go out there and beat the shit out of each other. You better go out there. I mean, think about it. You gotta make it believable, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Mack, and he when he throws the clothesline, man, you better bump right.
I'm just saying, dude. Him and Carlos, they killed each other tonight. That's good because it's believable, man. I mean, and you know, if you can't take it, fuck, man. Speaking of Matt, at the March 12th show, it's Matt Lanty against Jay Spade.
Right.
That ought to be a real good match. And like you said, Carlos Socorro or Socorro against Scott Phoenix.
Scott Phoenix.
Also want to.
What a dork.
Also want to. Also, Amaya Jay, Katie Forbes. Against who is it? Ruby Reyes.
Yeah, Ruby and
Ruby Reyes, Kennedy Brink, Savannah Evans, and Renee Michelle. It's basically a three-way tag match with the ladies. If you haven't seen Ruby Reyes in person, Ruby Reyes is a legitimate badass woman who will whoop some ass. Had her on the show, and she is legit. Also, Kurt Matthews against Bestia.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
For the Revolution. That's for the title, right? The Revolution
right.
title?
Uh-huh.
We talked about the other matches. I don't think I'm missing. Oh, I am missing one. Alex Cruz and I think Brandon Scott against Ken Dixon and Danny Flamingo. I don't know a lot about Brandon and Ken Dixon, but that should still be a good match with Danny Flamingo and Alex Cruz. So I don't know, man. We're gonna wrap things up in a little bit. I didn't want to keep you too long, man. I had to get you on and tell your backstory, talk about, you know, where you started, where you're going. And for fuck's sake, can you put your outfit on that way Luke doesn't ask me about these promo picks again that you're not gonna take? We got promo picks to take at the next Wildcat show. So make sure you go get the pizza early for the boys.
I do that.
Oh, shit. Man, man, anything else you want to talk about? Like I said, I won't keep you too long. I know you guys.
That's about it.
And that's it, man. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there in 2 weeks. Hey, I know I told you talk to while we're recording still. I know I told you to talk to Socorro. You know what? I'll save this when we hang up.
All right.
Because it may end up. I don't want to book the next show and haven't talked to anybody yet. So
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't already followed them, CJH Who Dat. I don't know. Hey, do you mind if people friend you on Facebook? If you
don't
really
care.
Rock it out. So he is on Facebook. Chris Harper, you can't miss him on there. He's on Facebook, Chris Harper. You heard what he just said. He'll rock it out. You pretty much know it's him because he's got on his header of his profile his hard body Harper pick that I posted on the podcast Facebook page and on Twitter this week. So go friend him, man. He posts a lot about Jennifer Lopez, though. I don't know what the
fucking Lord, man.
So when you had that Tinder account, did Jennifer Lopez not – you couldn't land Jennifer Lopez when you had Tinder?
Nah, bro. Nah, because every time – I tell you, I think of, like, that a movie Made in Manhattan, that's like porn to me.
You stupid, dude.
Damn, bro. It is one scene when she's in the kitchen and she turns around to get something off the stove and she's wearing these, like, a corduroy pants. She's like, good God, girl.
How's it going, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Damn. That sounds like me when I'm watching Sasha Banks.
No, J-Lo for life, huh?
Oh, so if I gave you a choice, J-Lo or Sasha?
No, J-Lo, bro. J-Lo's the, I mean, she's the main eventer nonstop.
Come on, man.
Oh, yeah, bro. Oh, yeah.
I never been a J-Lo fan, though, dude, to be honest with you.
Oh, J-Lo for life, bro.
J-Lo
got that booty, bro. I'm a booty man, bro. Good God.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
If you ain't got no booty, just go away. I can't deal with that.
You like
Yeah, right.
Walmart scooter thick?
No, bro. I can't deal with that. I can't deal with a chick where it's like, damn, can she out-muscle me? I can't deal with that.
I hope Lori ain't listening to this.
Nah. I mean, Lori's fine as hell. Damn.
There you go. Got to put her over.
I mean, she is, bro. God. All right, the first time, not the first time, it was one night where I grabbed her ass. I was like, what in the hell did that come from? It's like, damn, because she was like, you know, because she don't dress like a hoe. And so it's all, like, concealed.
It's hidden.
And I grabbed her ass, and I was like, holy shit.
You do realize we're still recording, right?
No, we're screwing. And I was just like, damn, girl, let's go home. Come on. Finish that drink.
One of my buddies I went to college with, my best friend, he this is what he would say when he saw a woman with an ass. He would go, damn, girl, they tell you to haul ass, you got to make 3 trips.
Yeah, like I told her last night, she's like, man, I've been working my ass off. I said, man, don't be working that much, girl. Don't be working that ass off. I tell her, I go beyond the call of duty for that booty. Damn.
You always leave the gym for the end of the show. You always leave it for the end. Oh, man. Say it.
Book it, bitch.
All right, everybody, that is going to wrap up this week's episode of Booking the Territories Pro Wrestling Podcast. We appreciate you tuning in this week. And next week, over the next 2 weeks, we have a gem for you. He has been on the Jim Cornette Experience numerous times. He also has his own podcast called The Bowling Alley. And he is the one and only star maker, Kenny Bolin, former OVW Manager of Champions. That's right. He managed John Cena and OVW amongst a ton of other future WWE stars. You are going to enjoy part one with Star Maker Bolin next week. After part one, we will then have part two. And then we got some other things in the works coming up for the show. So I just wanted to give you that update before we get on out of here. I really appreciate you all tuning in as usual. Want to say again, big shout out to the Shining Wizards podcast for everything. For their show. They have a quality podcast. Once again, if you are into pro wrestling podcasts, they are a show that is, no, they're not Steve Austin, no, they're not Jim Ross, but they produce sound podcasts each and every week, and they had on Mick Foley this week. So Shining Wizards, big shout out to you guys and the work that you all do. Make sure if you're in any of the areas for the pro wrestling promotions that I mentioned, like on March 5th, Dibble Middle School with IWR, with Night of Honor, with Raymond Rowe. If you are in New Orleans or the New Orleans area, March 12th with Wildcat Sports. March 19th, Mansfield. And for Main Event Pro Wrestling. And also, like I said, March the 31st, IHWE and NWA Parade of Champions featuring the one and only Jim Cornette. That's all I got for you all this week. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. I hope you enjoyed my discussion with Harper. And man, we actually had some really, really good topics, I thought, this week, all the way down from TNA to the ROH pay-per-view. It was some very, very interesting discussion. I really enjoyed it. Hopefully you will as well. Hey, don't forget, subscribe subscribe to the show, like the show on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at BTT_podcast, and do not forget, make sure you're sending in those emails weekly to bookingtheterritory@gmail.com, and we will get to your topic on the show. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Thank you, and until next week when we have star maker Kenny Bolin on for part one of my conversation with him, you know what we always say when we get up on out of here, book it. Every time the beat go, we go. You just break that thing, girl. Every time the beat go, whoa, 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 way more game than the kid. The G unit, racks by the grand and out. That's a G unit. Like Sierra when I get their goodies. Cause I'm jazzy like Faye with a tank in the hoodie. I'm like, yeah, better make your mind up. Mine ain't see them by now, you ain't gon' find them. No. She looks good, but she looks fine. I like, woo, 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 woo. Yeah, King, you ain't gotta know me. But yep, you soon will, cause you gotta know me. I'm the type, I make your baby mama OD. Like, woo, 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 woo. Yeah. Every time that beat go, I need you to shake that thing, girl. Every time that beat go, whoa, 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 whoa. Every time that beat go, I need you to break that thing, girl. Every time that beat go, whoa, 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 whoa. Won't you break it down? Afraid, go now. Don't be ashamed of how you do it. Just you see, I'm tired of playing games with niggas with money names. For real money, you lame. I put your money to shame. This ain't cynical. This ain't subliminal. I'm physical, financial, and mental to be a general. The mama claims she want a soldier. Not the type of entertainer, but in that Rover. Yeah, man, you at the game ordering refreshments. I'm on the floor watching my investment. Buttoned up, son, call it grown up. Look, I like to call it having money that fold up. Look, that Don Perignon crystal cold duck. Look, got a whoa, 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 whoa. You see, every time that beat go, beat go.